Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We're routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam off. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we've given rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the bat in Camelot. We sing from the dire Pamela.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Got it.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Oh!
How do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Are we?
for the heat. Thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carry inside. Mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Cause when them old boys raised on shotguns, Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
Flat earthers out there who still consider the existence of a supreme deity to be either necessary or self-evident or both. And with that, as previously announced, I will be turning the podium over to Mr. Wheaton, who will be presenting his case in favor of a supreme celestial dictator, otherwise known as God. Still consider the existence of a supreme deity to be either necessary or self-evident or both. And with that, as previously announced, I will be turning the podium over to Mr. Wheaton, who will be presenting his case in favor of a supreme celestial dictator, otherwise known as God. Mr. Wheaton, are you ready? Podium is yours.
Atheists say that no one can prove the existence of God, and they're right. But I say no one can disprove that God exists. But the only way to debate this issue is to look at the available evidence, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to put God on trial, with Professor Radisson as the prosecutor, me as the defense attorney, and you as the jury. Most cosmologists now agree that the universe began some 13.7 billion years ago in an event known as the Big Bang. So let's look at theoretical physicist and Nobel Prize winner Steven Weinberg's description of what the Big Bang would have looked like. And since he's an atheist, we can be sure there isn't any believer bias in his description. In the beginning, there was an explosion, and in 3 minutes, 98% of the matter there is or ever will be was produced. We had a universe. For 2,500 years, most scientists agreed with Aristotle on the idea of a steady-state universe, that the universe has always existed with no beginning and no end. But the Bible disagreed. In the 1920s, Belgian astronomer George Lemaître, a theist, was actually also...
What's a theist?
A theist is someone who believes in the existence of God. He said that the entire universe, jumping into existence in a trillionth of a second, out of nothingness, in an unimaginably intense flash of light, is how he would expect the universe to respond if God were to actually utter the command in Genesis 1:3, "Let there be light." In other words, the origin of the universe unfolded exactly how one would expect after reading Genesis, and for 2,500 years, the Bible had it right, and science had it wrong. All of which points to a God that created it. You see, in the real world, we never see things jumping into existence out of nothingness, but atheists want to make one small exception to this rule, namely the universe and everything in it.
But in his book, The God Delusion, Richard Dawkins says that if you tell me God created the universe, then I have the right to ask you who created God.
Dawkins' question only makes sense in terms of a God who has been created. It doesn't make sense in terms of an uncreated God, which is the kind of God that Christians believe in. And even leaving God out of the equation, I then have a right to turn Mr. Dawkins' own question back around on him and ask, if the universe created you, but who created the universe? You see, both the theist and the atheist are both burdened with answering the same question of how did things start. What I'm hoping you'll pick up from all this is that you don't have to commit intellectual suicide to believe in a creator behind the creation. And to the extent that you don't allow for God, you'd be pretty hard-pressed to find any credible alternative explanation for how things came to be.
Well, I imagine you're quite pleased with yourself. I see you carefully avoided the fact that Stephen Hawking, the world's most famous scientist, and who is not a theist, has recently come out in favor of a self-designing universe.
I haven't avoided it, I just didn't...
You just didn't know about it. All right. Well, let's see what Professor Hawking, the Cajun professor of physics at Cambridge, who occupies a teaching chair once held by Sir Isaac Newton, has to say about the origin of the universe. And I quote, "Because there's a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. spontaneous creation is the reason there is something instead of nothing. It's why the universe exists, why we exist. It is not necessary to invoke God to set the universe in motion. End quote. So you may have never come across this comment, but this point remains. How do you answer?
I don't know.
You don't know. I prick the balloon of your entire argument with a single pin, and you don't know. Huh.
Well, I mean, I'd like to tell you I have the perfect answer, but it doesn't shake my underlying faith.
Okay. So the greatest scientific mind in all of history says that God is not necessary, but a first semester freshman says, oh, yes, he is. Wow, you know, it's going to be a really tough choice. Well, I look forward to next week's lecture. Class is dismissed.
In our last class, I was asked a question that I couldn't answer. As Professor Radisson pointed out, Stephen Hawking is an atheist. He also wrote a book called The Grand Design, in which he says the following. Because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. And to be honest, I tend not to refute that. I mean, after all, Hawking is clearly a genius. But Professor John Lennox, who teaches mathematics and philosophy, has demonstrated that there are not one, even two, but three errors of logic contained in that one simple sentence, and it all boils down to circular reasoning. Hawking is basically saying that the universe exists because the universe needed to exist, and because the universe needed to exist, it therefore created itself. It's like this. If I say to you that I can prove that Spam is the best tasting food that's ever existed because in all of history no food has ever tasted better, you'd probably look at me strange and say, I haven't proven anything, and you'd be right. All I've done is restate my original claim. But when Hawking claims that the universe created itself because it needed to create itself, and then offers that as an explanation as to how and why it was created, we don't immediately recognize that he's doing the same thing. But he is. Prompting Lennox to further comment, nonsense remains nonsense even when spoken by famous scientists, even though the general public assumes they're statements of science.
This is the height of hubris. Are you telling me that you, a freshman, are saying that Stephen Hawking is wrong?
No. What I'm saying is that John Lennox, a professor of mathematics and philosophy, has found Professor Hawking's reasoning to be faulty, and I agree with his logic. But if you can't bear to disagree with Hawking's thinking, then I suggest that you turn to page 5 of his book, where he insists philosophy is dead. And if you're so sure of Professor Hawking's infallibility, and philosophy really is dead, then, well, there's really no need for this class. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, for the last 150 years, Darwinists have been saying that God is unnecessary to explain man's existence and that evolution replaces God. But evolution only tells you what happens once you have life. So where did that something that's alive come from? Well, Darwin never really addressed it. He assumed maybe some lightning hit a stagnant pool full of the right kind of chemicals. Bingo! A living something. But it's just not that simple. You see, Darwin claimed that the ancestry of all living things came from that one single simple organism, which reproduced and was slowly modified over time into the complex life forms we view today. Which is why, after contemplating his own theory, Darwin uttered his famous statement, Natura non facit salta, meaning, nature does not jump. As noted, author Lee Strobel pointed out that if you can picture the entire 3.8 billion years that scientists have say life has been around as one 24-hour day, in the space of just about 90 seconds, most major animal groups suddenly appear in the forms in which they currently hold, not slowly and steadily, as Darwin predicted, but in evolutionary terms, almost instantly. So, nature does not jump becomes nature makes a giant leap. that a theist explained this sudden outburst of new biological information? And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:20. In other words, creation happened because God said it should happen. And even what looks to our eyes to be a blind, unguided process could really be divinely controlled from start to finish. Evil. It's been said that evil is atheism's most potent weapon against the Christian faith, and it is. After all, the very existence of evil begs the question, if God is all good, and God is all powerful, why does he allow evil to exist? The answer at its core is remarkably simple. Free will. God allows evil to exist because of free will. From the Christian standpoint, God tolerates evil in this world on a temporary basis, so that one day those who choose to love him freely will dwell with him in heaven, free from the influence of evil, but with their free will intact. In other words, God's intention concerning evil is to one day destroy it.
Well, how convenient. One day, I will get rid of all the evil in the world. But until then, you just have to deal with all the wars and holocausts, tsunamis, poverty, starvation, and AIDS. Have a nice life. Next, you'll be lecturing us on moral absolutes.
Well, why not? Professor Radisson, who's clearly an atheist, doesn't believe in moral absolutes. But his course syllabus says he plans to give us an exam during finals weeks. Now, I'm betting that if I manage to get an A in the exam by cheating, he'll suddenly start sounding like a Christian, insisting it's wrong to cheat, that I should have known that. And yet, what basis does he have? If my actions are calculated to help me succeed, then why shouldn't I perform them? For Christians, the fixed point of morality, what constitutes right and wrong, is a straight line that leads directly back to God.
So you're saying that we need a God to be moral, that a moral atheist is an impossibility.
No, but with no God, there's no real reason to be moral. I mean, it's not even a standard of what moral behavior is. For Christians, lying, cheating, stealing, in my example, stealing a grade I didn't earn are forbidden. It's a form of theft. But if God does not exist, as Dostoevsky famously pointed out, if God does not exist, then everything is permissible.
Not only permissible,
but pointless. Professor Radisson is right. Then all of this, all of our struggle, our debate, whatever we decide here is meaningless. I mean, our lives and ultimately our deaths are no more consequence than that of a goldfish.
This is ridiculous. So after all your talk, you're saying that it all comes down to a choice. Believe or don't believe.
That's right. That's all there is. That's all there's ever been. The only difference between your position and my position is that you take away their choice. You demand that they choose the box marked, I don't believe.
Yes, because I want to free them. Because religion is like it's like a mind virus that parents have passed on down to their children. And Christianity is the worst virus of all. It slowly creeps into our lives when we're weak or sick or helpless.
So religion is like a disease?
Yes. Yes, it infects everything. It's the enemy of reason.
Reason? Professor, you left reason a long time ago. What you're teaching here isn't philosophy. It's not even atheism anymore. What you're teaching is anti-theism. It's not enough that you don't believe. You need all of us to not believe with you.
Why don't you admit the truth? You just want to ensnare them in your primitive superstition.
What I want is for them to make their own choice. That's what God wants.
You have no idea how much I'm going to enjoy failing you.
But who are you really looking to fail? Professor, me or God? Do you hate God?
It's not even a question.
Okay. Why do you hate God?
This is ridiculous.
Why do you hate God? Answer the question. You've seen the science and the arguments. Science supports his existence. You know the truth. So why do you hate him? Why?
a very simple question, Professor. Why do you hate God?
Because he took everything away from me. Yes, I hate God. All I have for him is hate.
How can you hate someone that don't exist? God dead. God is not dead.
Surely alive. He's living on the inside. table. All rise for the king, Shazam the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. You know, in the world that we live in today, with all the chaos and all the continuous negativity and fear and craziness going on, what harm has myself as a Christian done to anyone? I feel like, I'm continuously having to defend my faith to the world out there. You know, I believe in a higher power. I believe that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. You know? So, by me having that light of hope out there and trying to walk the path that Jesus walked years ago, according to my belief, what harm have I done to try to walk that path? Could I ever be like Jesus? No. You know, there was only one perfect man in history, in my opinion. That was the man himself, the Son of God. But to walk that path is what I call true Christianity. You try to walk that path as closely as possible. Am I going to fail? Yeah, of course I'm going to fail. The book says so. You know, there's a lot of things in that book that people don't pay attention to that, it's easy to find negativity in everything. It doesn't matter what it is. There's people of all faiths, of all different backgrounds. I hesitate to use the word religion because it's like taboo, you know. You say religion, everybody automatically thinks of some sort of governmental power, some sort of hierarchy that wants to brainwash everyone and so on and so forth. But like I said, in the world that we live in today, what harm does it bring upon any other living soul out there for me to live in my own faith as long as I believe and I choose to believe using my own free will? I choose to walk my own path, my own spiritual journey. You know, if I'm out doing harm to somebody, I can see that would be a reason why to not like me. And so with that said, no harm, no foul, so to speak. What harm would it do for me to be able to live my life in freedom and believe what it is that I choose to believe if it brings me hope and brings me some sort of sanity in a world of chaos? Some folks would like to believe that this was all made out of chaos, that everything is just here, you know. When you die, and that's it, and there's no nothing else beyond. I hesitate to believe that there would be any purpose for life if this was just all there is to it, is just everybody running around fighting amongst each other and trying to kill one another and lying and cheating and stealing and robbing and raping and looting and pillaging. You know, the question was asked, why would God allow people to do bad things if God was so good? Why would he allow? And the answer was free will. Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill. It didn't have no disclaimer in it, no subsection particle, article B or A or C or whatever in the fine print that said if and or. Just plain and simple said, thou shalt not kill. And even if you're a non-believer, you have to think about those words, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. You know, the good rules to live by. So in my opinion, whoever was behind the words that were in the book that we call the Bible, that is my where my belief stems from the text that there within, and the man that they called Jesus, and the path that he walked, and the things that he said to people, and just the story in general. If somebody wrote that book, whether it be a higher power, they must have had some sort of wisdom to them. They must have seen something or knew something to put such words of wisdom down in text for people to have sort of a guidebook to life. Because if you kill somebody, somebody's going to want to kill you. If you steal from somebody, somebody's going to want to steal from you. Some folks call it karma. Some folks say what comes around goes around. So on and so forth. We talk about the positive pebble in the pond, and if you throw negativity out there, you get negativity back. Seems to me that that's not related to chaos in any form or fashion. It's pretty organized. You throw negativity out there and you get negativity back, there must be some sort of something there. So I choose to be a Christian with my free will. I choose not to believe certain things. I choose not to do certain things. Am I perfect? By no means, no. No, definitely no. Could never be perfect. None of us could. And in all reality, none of us know the truth of all reality. All we know is what we've been taught and handed down from generation to generation, what our forefathers have said. Some folks worship the creation and ignore the creator, you know? I look at this earth and I say, you know, this is the most beautiful thing that I've ever witnessed in my entire life. It's amazing when you look around you and you see birds flying through the sky and you see flowers growing and trees and everything that is. If you've ever been out in the middle of the ocean and you've seen how blue the water is out there, it's just beautiful. It's incredible. You see the mountains with the snow caps on them, and there's just so much to take in, you know, so much to look at. And at night, you can sit underneath a sky full of stars, and you can wonder and you can dream, like, with all them twinkling lights in the sky and each one of them potentially being a star with planets revolving around them. It's just so amazing. It makes you feel so tiny in the grand scheme of things. So we sit around and we argue back and forth to each other whether there is or isn't a God, or whether there is or isn't a one world conspiracy, whether there is or isn't evil, so on and so forth. Meanwhile, we leave life behind. Because yesterday you can't never get back. You can't, those minutes and those hours and days that you spent around arguing and trying to prove your point to the world, you can't get back. Your children are growing up and you're missing out on all that love and life. I don't think that our Creator would have wanted us to miss out on love and life. In my view, our Creator is love, pure love in the pure sense. Who else would give you such a wonderful gift, such as life and such as the world and the magnificence therein? The earth is 3/4 covered in water. It's a thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. It has enough to sustain 10 times the population or more that we currently have, and you still have people out there talking about exponential growth and population control, you know? You still have people out there talking about how we gotta depopulate the planet, or how we're so much more powerful than nature that we can actually destroy nature. Do you think any divine creator would put in their children's hand the power to destroy the creation? I don't think so. I look at nature and how powerful nature really is. You mess up with nature and it's going to come back in you. It's going to come back on you with a vengeance. You know, a fish, a goldfish in a bowl, if you don't take care of that goldfish in the bowl, then that water becomes so acidic the goldfish can't breathe. It burns the gills and eventually the goldfish will die. So do we pollute our environment? Sure we do. On a local level, we pollute our environment. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, nature cleaned up, even if it means that we are not around after it happens. So there's a lot of responsibility to take care of the world that we live in, because we're supposed to be the caretakers of the world and each other and servants to one another. We're supposed to be good to each other. That, by definition, to me, is love. You know, to love your brothers and sisters around the world, regardless of their differences or their differences in beliefs. There's a reason why they believed what they believe. There's a reason why I believe what I believe. It makes them feel comfortable. It makes them have some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. So don't hate me for being a Christian. I don't subscribe to any religion. I know that sounds crazy, but it's fact. What I believe is in a man that they called Jesus Christ, and I believed in the words that came out of his mouth. I believed in the ultimate sacrifice. Whether it turned out to be just a story, I'd like to try to model my life as closely to that as possible, so that I go out and I do unto others as I would have them do unto me. I would treat my children good. I would treat my family good. I would treat my friends and neighbors good. And I would treat the world good. And I have no want or need to go out and kill anybody or bring harm upon any living soul in the world. My heart is full of love, and I attribute that love to not only my God, but my mother, who raised me to be a loving, caring individual. We've seen the world. We've seen evil. We've seen the darkness that is plaguing the lands. We've seen governments out of control and crime and corruption and just things that you wouldn't do. I wouldn't do. Whether you're an atheist, a non-believer, or a Buddhist, or a Muslim, or anybody of any true faith. And I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking an organization of any kind. I'm talking about a belief in something that is right. I believe in Jesus Christ not because somebody told me or somebody brainwashed me. I believe in Jesus Christ because of those words that were written in that book that I call a Bible. Because of what come out of that man's mouth, his actions, his deeds, and the story. And the ultimate sacrifice at the end. And according to my book, it says that Jesus Christ will return one day. You know, there's some folks out there that said Jesus Christ is a black man. And so is that going to make any difference to me? No, sir. Doesn't matter if Jesus Christ is a black man, a red man, a yellow man, white man. If Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ, when he comes back, I will follow him just like I am now. But there's a lot of divide and conquer tactics out there that just seem to try to push everyone away. You know, why sit around and spend your time trying to convince me that my belief is wrong? If you're so firm in your belief and you're so strong to believe what you believe, say what you got to say and go on down the road if you disagree. But there's no need to attack. There's no need to sit there and try to convince me and get angry and frustrated and call me stupid or whatever. There's no need to even make a snide or disrespectful remark and try to degrade my beliefs, as I wouldn't degrade your beliefs. Just because in your mind that you don't believe that there's a higher power, that Jesus Christ ever existed, or maybe that, you know, like in some of the religious views out there, they say that Christians are pagans. They equate the true Christianity with the Catholic Church. You know, there's so many different denominations in Christianity as the religion that everybody talks about. And my own personal version of what I'm talking about, Christianity, isn't to have anything to do with any kind of organization or any kind of brainwashing. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't a Christian. He was the Christ. And so, to listen to the story and the deeds and the words that came out of his mouth and decide that I'm going to use my free will and follow those footsteps as best to my ability is why I call myself a Christian. not because of some fancy church up on the hill or, you know, some place where you go for a floor show and listen to cool music and make donations and all that kind of stuff. No, because of a man that they called Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, that gave his life on the cross for all humanity. Can I prove the story to be true since I wasn't there? Nobody can, unless they were standing there next to the whole scene while it was occurring. But I choose to live on faith. I choose to be a Christian because of the words in that book. And if that makes me stupid or whatever, you know, it's my life, it's my free will, it's my being, it's my own personal journey. And as long as I'm not encroaching on your life or trying to tell you to believe what I believe, regardless of what you believe, I'm trying to convince you or trying to tell you anything that, you know, you don't want. As long as I'm just living my life as a Christian, then why not let it be? Just like if you choose to be an atheist or an agnostic or whatever, a Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, I'm going to let you be. I'm going to walk my path. And if you're looking from the outside, looking in, and you see that there's anything worthy in my life that you decide you want to adopt on your own with your own free will and maybe join me on my spiritual journey, then that's wonderful. When you ask me what I believe, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, my Lord and Savior. I'm a Christian. And that's the way I choose to live my life. I don't want to curse on the radio show. I don't want to be disrespectful to people. I just want to be good to everyone in the world. I want to share love with the world. That's all I want. And maybe someday, if I'm right, I get to go to this nifty place that everyone calls heaven. And instead of all the aggravations of what we call life, I get to live in a world that I visualize that we as humans could literally create. I believe that we literally have the power within us to bring about heaven on earth. Sounds like a tall order when you think about it, because there's people out there, jihadists, that want to kill you, or terrorists behind every bush, or, you know, read Revelations. It says in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars, plagues and famine and pestilence, so on and so forth. Is that not what we see in the world today? So is it not a tall order to say that I believe that all the humanity was given the power, as said in Genesis, whenever God created man in his own image? I believe that we were literally given the power to bring about heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Now, if that makes me a dreamer, it makes me crazy, then I guess I just have to be crazy because my heart says that it's the right thing to do. Is there a chance I could be wrong? Sure there is, just like there's a chance you could be wrong. You, the atheist who might quote science to tell me why it is that I'm incorrect and the world is older than what the Bible says, you know. Says in my book that Satan would be the great deceiver, you know. So maybe things aren't as old as they are. And maybe they are as old as they are. I don't know. I seriously don't know. I don't have enough information before me to determine that. I haven't been so far back in the world to actually watch the Big Bang or the creation. I wasn't there. I always pose the question, you know, in science it takes three things to start a fire. It takes an ignition source, oxygen, and fuel. my question was to all of the atheists and non-believers out there in the world was, who lit the match? And if you light a match and you cause an explosion, which is total chaos, and all these things just somehow magically came about, you know, and it's all, you know, just so precise, like the human body, I mean, it's just amazing. How could that be an accident? How could the world as we see it be an accident? It's just so complex. To think that there was no forethought that went into creating the creation. It's just, to me, it sounds just as crazy as it sounds to you whenever I tell you that I believe in a higher power. You can't prove what you can't see is what they say. Well, since none of us can prove it, I say we live in peace with one another. I say we agree to disagree and go on about our own business and live our lives with free will and choose to not harm anyone. To just try to make this world a better place. I don't think that's too much to ask. So with that said, I'm going to play a quick tune, and I haven't heard from any of the knights this morning, so I'm guessing that I'm going to be riding this one alone. That's alright. The world's a little nutty outside. I woke up this morning, and when the negativity came in, I decided maybe I just might want to crawl back into bed. Maybe I just might want to just go to sleep. I got a big heart and a big dream.
was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The
King, this is a terrible. I got Muddy Mugman online. Honorable Night Muddy, but he hasn't got his mic working or something. So as soon as he jumps in there, turn that heater off there. It's getting hot up in this place. Anyway, I hope that so far you've enjoyed the show and understand what it is that I'm trying to say to everybody. You know, we were given something really wonderful here, an opportunity to do something profound with our lives, or to give our lives meaning. You know, when you raise your children up, you want to give your children the best of everything. To me, my children give my life meaning. It's a wonderful thing to be a father, and now a grandfather, not once, but three times over. And so if I can make their life better in any way and give them the opportunity to live in a better world, then that's why I do what it is that I do. You know, We have free will, all of us. Each and every individual on this planet has free will, regardless of whether you're a believer or a non-believer. You got a choice to make when you get up in the morning. That's free will. You can choose to either be a bad person or you can choose to be a good person. You can choose to go out and try to commit jihad under your own personal religious beliefs or whatever. Or you can take and show the best of your faith and go out and do something positive for this world as opposed to negative. Nobody has the right to do somebody else wrong. Nobody has the right to steal somebody else's life. And so with that said, each and every one of us being human and having responsibilities such as trying to make this world a better place in some form or fashion, how are we going to get there as long as we're arguing? How are we going to get there as long as you're trying to convince me that you're right and I'm wrong? I'm trying to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. I'm just trying to point out the obvious, the common sense of the whole deal. I'm just trying to share my views. Let's try this again. Hopefully, buddy's got a microphone this time. Hello, brother. Are you there? Yeah, but I can hear you barely. So you need to come closer to the mic or turn the volume up. A little bit farther. You still sound like you're down the street. Hi, buddy. Got to find that loud portion there. I'm going to see if I can figure out a way to turn your volume up. Something. You got to come closer somehow, some way.
I'll switch computers.
Let's try this. Say something.
Audio.
Yeah. I got you louder now.
I can hear that a little bit. Sorry to be right on the show doing tech stuff. Had internet problems all night.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems in the world. Internet problems is one of the aggravations. So, have you been listening to me, brother?
All morning.
What do you
all
think?
In between it going in and out, but it's kind of straightened out pretty much towards the end there. So I figured, yeah, maybe they're done working on the internet.
Yeah.
I missed my show. I was planning on a good one, too.
It's those gremlins, brother. They're trying to get us all. Anyway, so what's your thoughts, man?
My thoughts is great admiration for sticking up for what you believe. That's number one. My wife says, she looked at me and said, you never know what that boy's going to talk about. I said, but at least he believes in what he talks about and you stand up for it. You know, I said, that's him. She says, yeah. I said, I love him. So, don't tell your wife, but... oh, is that what she said? She got a lot of respect for you. Well, I've always had respect for you because I know what you believe in. To give one brain thumper right here, is God real? I wouldn't be walking without God. I wouldn't be walking. I had arthritis so bad. You know what? And I'm almost 53 now. And I don't have arthritis in my legs. I have poor circulation problems. Well, you know, we didn't pray for that. Prayed for the arthritis. I was pretty much crippled there for a little while. I had to go on crutches and all that stuff. Spent a day or two in a wheelchair just because it was easier. But, it was 5 minutes healing in the church. And because of that, I've done other, I went back to doing, you know, hard working jobs, loading engine blocks. Never had a problem on my legs since. Never had a problem on my legs, the joints or anything. Arthritis just does not play with me anymore.
Well, I'm a true believer in the power of miracle, brother. I've seen it all, you know.
One of my legs was a little shorter at the same time. It didn't really notice, but my legs are exactly the same length. Exactly. Didn't even ask for that. All I wanted was the pain to go. So, yeah. Do I believe in God? Yeah. Do I believe he's real? Yeah. Do I believe he forgives? Yeah, as much as if you go down a hallway and you hear your kid in the other room along with his friends and he's talking, my daddy's so strong, he picked up the back end of the car and moved it over, and then he walked around to the front and he moved the front end of the car over to mow because he was too lazy to come in and get the keys. Do you get mad because the kid said you were lazy? No, you just, your head's going, and hopefully you can get down the hallway without banging the pictures off the wall with your head. To me, that's the greatest form of praise. And what you did this morning, I'm pretty sure God, his head went.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to point out to the world, you know, we gotta make this world better ourselves, you know. I believe we all have the power to do that. You know, it's just, even if it's on a small scale, on a daily basis, in your own general vicinity, your own neighborhood, you know, nobody's going to feed the homeless man unless you get up and do it. My grandpa used to say that all the time. He said, nothing ever gets done unless you do it yourself, you know. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. So, you know, I just kind of look out there at the world and I see what needs to be done and I try to jump in there and do what I can. You know, does that make me a perfect person? No, I'm way beyond perfect. I'm not even nowhere near that. But what I do feel in my heart is it makes me be in doing the right thing. And to me, I think that's important no matter what your faith is, you know. If you use your faith to harm people, then you have no faith to begin with. Now, I had somebody send me a comment once and said that they used to be a Christian and they had to lie to themselves to believe, you know. And I was saying to myself, you know, if you had to lie to yourself to believe, you never was a true Christian as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I kind of believe they was, but I do understand a lot. I mean, in the taxi, I learned a lot of what drives people and what bugs them and all that kind of stuff. It's like watching a million versions of the Scrooge and then another a million versions of Snow White and the Three Stooges. You know, there's always a twist in the new movie. I've seen about 100 movies or more, and 1,000 versions of each, and it all seems to be review after a while. I do know how a person can lose his faith.
Well, I can understand going away from your faith, but not being able to say that I was a Christian, but I had to lie to myself to be one.
Well, it just got to that point. The doubts creeped in. I can't doubt. I have come to a point or two in my life. Was it just me and the power of the mind that healed me? No, I really don't think I was capable enough back then. So, no, I got to look at it. I know God's real. I know he's real. And as a proof to me, I don't think that somebody can write the books of the Bible and count every third letter, every seventh letter, and all that stuff. How do you say what you're going to say and also encrypt and encode other messages like that deeply all the way through?
I don't know, but it's pretty amazing to me how...
The other point is, I don't see it. I've read a lot of different books just out of curiosity, but I don't see one that predicts all the things that are going on now. I especially don't find a book that old that predicts everything that's going on as accurately as now. The Da Vinci Code, as they call it, predicted Hitler. They call it history. But, you know, Hitler, come on. Predicted pretty much just everything that's going on. When you look at the beast, and it talks about the sea. The sea is a sea of people. We're in the middle of the third beast, almost to the end of it. The beasts are the alliances of nations. You look at England or Britain. Okay, here we go. It's, what is their little symbol? We got the eagle. Okay, well they got the lion, right? They got. It's not a lion.
Bombs into foreign nations and they're killing children.
You know, if you take away some child's mom or dad, you know, you just took away their support system, their family. How is that saving children? You know? And so, common sense, whether you're a believer or non-believer, has to fall in there somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to... Until the time comes, we've got to try to make this world a better place. We're the only ones who can do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Finish up on my other point. The beast rose up out of the sea.
Hey, hey, Jesus is the devil. Always working, Jesus is the devil and the knights of the round table.
All right, I believe we're back. Apologize for all that there, everybody. Doggone it, I don't know. You know, it seems like you talk about certain subjects and you start having computer problems. Is it conspiratorial? Maybe, who knows. So, are you still there, buddy?
No.
Okay, well, you were trying to not talk about something while you were not there before we got crashed.
Remember what I was talking about. They took Jesus to the top of a high mountain and showed him all the lands and the kingdoms. He said, all of these are yours if you'll just fall down and worship me. Well, I tell you what, if you worship the devil, then you must believe in God, because especially the devil believes in God. My deal is, I've been looking to testimonies of people like Michael Jackson and things like that. Michael Jackson was definitely killed. There are demons that that possess people. If Jesus, or if somebody, let's just say somebody's in the music industry, they started off, they glow, they're shine, they're really bright, happy people. And you know, you go into a convenience store, usually half the time you don't even know why you went in there. You just went in there because it's habit, because you want to see them people that day. Hey, how you doing there, buddy? You know, you go in there because you're bored. You don't know what you want to buy. That's why you walk around the store for 5 minutes before you figure out what you want. You just want something. What is it that you wanted? You wanted that fellowship. So here these people get out there, and you hear a band, and it sounds like they're happy, man. That's a great sound. That's, you know, they're jamming together. They're, you know, they're having a ball. So you listen to them. It uplifts you. It makes you feel good. So you buy their album.
Dream again.
Yep. So are we still transmitting?
I just don't know, man.
Well, I'm going to continue as though we do.
Yeah, just keep on.
So they take these people to the top of the mountain and say, all these kingdoms are yours. Your career is going to take off. You're going to be as famous as Michael Jackson. And they put them out there. He says, but what you have to do is renounce God and worship me. And it happens. And the things that they got to do are really horrific. Pretty sick.
Well, you know,
they say they have to do it. The longer they're into the career and the better they're going to do, the more they have to do. And, you know, they hang their head talking about it. It's not something that they like. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy. That's why I look at all these stupid, you know, screw up your life magazines and all that stuff. I feel sorry for those people. I really do. They lost everything. What gaineth a man if he gain the whole world and loses his soul?
Yeah, you know, you look out there and you see things such as, you know, what's going on here right now, somebody messing with the stream or whatever, you know. It seems like every time you try to get towards something good and something, you come under attack or whatever. And you can go all over YouTube, man. You can see it on a daily basis, how people treat each other, you know. How is any of that making the world any better? And these folks out there that they call themselves jihadists, that may or may not, I don't know, because you can't really believe what the mainstream media says anymore. Out there cutting people's heads off under the name of their supposed God or whatever, you know. And you know,
Christ is going through everything he had to go through on the cross. And then you mess up almost daily. It's like throwing another nail in. Grace is his ability to forgive every time that you ask.
Yep.
How many times shall I forgive my brother? 70 times 70. Yeah, right? That's a lot. I think that means per day. That means keep on forgiving.
Well, I think we're back in coding again.
Great.
Everyone out there, you're listening. I can try to get everything situated.
All right.
From dusk till dawn. the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause the country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, we're back. Apologize for all the interruptions there in the Knights of the Round Table. It's alright because I've got the server control up and I know exactly where the IP address is to the person doing this. And so we'll take care of business, and they'll no longer be a part of the equation there. Anyway, the world's kind of messed up. We all know that. But the only way we're going to fix this world is to try to get along with each other, regardless of our disputes or whatever. You know, I talk about my faith, and I don't really talk about my faith all the time. I just kind of every once in a while, if I'm asked, I will tell everybody what it is that I believe. I don't try to force my beliefs down anybody's throat or anything like that. However, you know, when you start talking about certain subjects, there are attacks that'll come in. You'll get attacks when you're talking about anti-government kind of things. If they presume that you're anti-government, they'll be on you. If you're talking about anything in the alternative energy community that they don't want folks to hear, well, then you'll get attacked. And if you start talking about Christianity or your beliefs therein or anything like that, you're going to get attacked. So it's part of the game there, I guess. No biggie. I'll just keep on doing what it is that I'm doing, and you know, I'll just be me. I'll live my life, live life in love, and lead by example. And that's about the best I can do with what I got to work with. Because, like I said, I'm a grandfather. I'm a father. I got something worthwhile in this world that I need to try to make this world a better place. And if it's throwing positive pebbles in the pond via a little radio show that goes all over the world, and I say what it is that I say, common sense, and I try to spread peace, hope, and love to the world, as long as that's my ultimate goal, to try to make the world a better place, I can't see where I can go wrong. What about you guys? Anybody?
Muddy, go ahead. Yeah, I'll chip a tooth on the microphone. Shoot, like I said, I wouldn't be walking without him. And I'm almost 53 now. My legs work fine. My legs work fine. There's no pain in it. When the weather gets bad and it gets really cold, you know, all my joints hurt a little bit. But, you know, I figure everybody else complains of the same thing, so I'm no different than anybody else. I guess it's just the cold. It's nothing to do with anything. Like I said, I was loading engine blocks for a living after that, and moving furniture, hauling hay, all sorts of hard work that took a lot of strength in the legs. And I haven't had a problem. And like I said, one leg was shorter than the other. Without really even noticing it, they wound up being the same length. And I think it was right about that same time. I didn't even notice it. No, that's how it happened. And like I said, it was 5 minutes. 5 minutes at an altar. And I walk back without pain. And I haven't had any since.
Well, brother, I think that people step over miracles on a daily basis, you know? Look into your kid's eyes and tell me that ain't a miracle.
Oh, man. I've looked into a lot of eyes and seen clear back to the back of their skull. And I thought those people were alive. Okay, well, this dog has a strong ability to do so. And I've seen it in other dogs, but not near as strong. He's something else. The dog people call a dog catcher up, and they say, "Yeah, we got a dog to catch." He says, "Can you describe the dog?" And they describe him and says, "Good luck. We've been trying for years. He's too smart for us." He's been shot a few times. He's been run over. He's had his wazoo whooped a few times, but he goes right back into protecting kids.
Well, it sounds like that dog is a miracle in itself, man.
Yeah, he's something else. It took a while to get him to come in the house. We had to trick him. And the first time we left him alone, it like tore all the doggone curtains off, trying to get out the windows, out the door, tore a piece of trim off the door, and, you know, when I opened the door, he like to bolt me over. It was about 2 days before we could get him to come back in. Now he spends most of his time in the house. It seems like every time we show up, he jumps up and down like a bunny. So we call him Brahma Buddy instead of just Brahma. He's Brahma Bunny. He's something else. He's got little tricks that he plays on you on a daily basis. And you go along with it because, you know, it's kind of a ritual, a thing. Every time I start my show on Saturday or Sunday morning, it's time to come out here and put his head up against my leg and look up at me. So I play a tune, I beat him, then I come sit down. When he's done, he comes on over, and you can go over there and open the door to let him out. Nope, not good enough. You go back down, sit down. You come over to you and you pet him. He's got to get his lovin's first. And once he's got his lovin's and he feels secure, you can open the door and he'll go right out. And he won't come back in until Mama comes home. He goes out to wait on Mama to come home from throwing the papers so he can jump up and down and show her how happy he is that she's home. And then he comes in and he's turning circles and dancing and I don't know, man. He's definitely a godsend. And I'll tell you what, these animals are a source of energy. And a lot of times when I come down to a point where I'm depressed, and I say pretty much, you know, the world's going to blah, 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 I just want to go to bed and roll over and go to sleep, rather than ignore me like he does the rest of the day, other than when I'm on the show, that's when he comes up there and just looks you. He'll lay his head on the bed, standing on the ground, he'll lay his head on the bed and just stare at you and make funny faces at you until you laugh. And if you roll over the other way, it's, so you turn over and look at him, and then he'll just sit there and look at you again, make funny faces at you. He's definitely an original dog. I think God sent him. I think because he was left here, I figure I was the tool to take the dog out of his torment.
Well, I can't see why anybody would even want to do an animal wrong anyway, but, you know, some folks just got their priorities backwards in life, you know?
I I think it's kind of like when you look at movies, you see a lot of killing, you see a lot of gore, you see a lot of problems and everything like that. You see horrific things. It's kind of second place now. It's not the first thing on your mind. You watch a movie, you walk away and say, man, what movie did we watch today? Oh yeah, that one. So the kids' games, everything about killing and all that kind of stuff, what it does is harden the heart towards the towards, you know, everything that you see in the movie there. It just makes it like, yeah, another day. Where before it was, if you'd have showed that back in the 50s, oh man, you'd have had an outrage. I'm not preaching against the movies, and I'm not even preaching, but what I'm saying is what I see. I remember if a girl went to church and she wore pants, oh, they were all into her. No, you gotta wear a dress. You gotta wear a dress. These days, it's rare to find a woman in a dress anywhere.
Well,
so,
you know,
change.
Times have definitely changed, and somehow or another, you got to find a balance out there to try to tell people that there is hope in the world. You know, when you get up in the morning and the first thing you do, you turn on the news and all you hear is negativity, terrorists this, terrorists that, and then you go out there on your internet or whatever and you find the same thing and it looks like the whole world is bad. You know, I look outside my door, outside of it being a gloomy day, you know, kind of cold and damp outside, I don't see all the death and destruction that goes on around the world. And, you know, I'm sure that there is a lot of terrible stuff going on in the world. And we need to address it. We need to stop the madness. I mean, because as humanity, how are we ever going to get anywhere, you know, without trying to bring some common sense to the world? You don't throw bombs in somebody's country and destroy the children and then turn around and try to say you're trying to protect the children or freedom or something like that, you know? It's counterproductive. It's ridiculous. I mean, I see on TV all the time commercials about starving babies with tears in their eyes, you know, and it breaks my heart to see that. And I get so doggone angry when I see somebody on TV showing me a starving baby. I'm just, because I'm saying, these governments of the world, they got enough money to go around there and fly, you know, jets everywhere and bomb the crap out of each other, you know, and try to, you know, basically tell each other what to do. But you tell me they got all the money to run their army tanks and throw bullets in every direction and all that kind of stuff, but nobody can get over there and put food in that baby's mouth? Seriously? You know, this world has its priorities backwards. We shouldn't be hearing about any wars if mankind would use some doggone common sense and just go by the golden rules of life. You know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know, if my baby's starving, I'm going over to give him some food. And if your baby's starving or somebody's baby's starving, you go give them some food. It's as simple as that. You know? Where am I wrong in that way of thinking?
There's nothing wrong in that way of thinking, I think.
How much does one bomb cost?
A lot.
How much does it cost to keep one jet fighter in the air for a few hours or days or weeks or months? You know? There's a lot of money being wasted all over the world. And most of the money all over the world is being used to oppress everyone. Everybody, you know, like I always say this, you know, those folks that have homeowners associations, those guys must be nuts. You know? If your neighbor's grass is a certain height and you think you've got to call the wall on them to get their grass mowed or something like that, then eventually there's going to be some sort of regulation. Your grass has to be no higher than this, or you only get a fine from the city. You know, now the city's not only making money on you, but your freedom's been tampered with as well. Look at all the laws on the books, man. It's just ludicrous. And people, they continuously on a daily basis give up their rights and freedom, and they allow governments to run amok and spend money on things that, you know, if you as a household owner was to waste money on some of the craziness that they waste money on, then you would be bankrupt. You would be homeless. You would have bill collectors calling you 24/7. And even those who work hard, dual families, both mom and dad out working, they still got bill collectors breathing down their neck because they're just trying to stay above water. There's something wrong with that whole picture, you know? People think that in America, we've got it so good. But if you want to call being a wage slave good, then, you know, I guess we are good. But, you know, a lot of people are working poor. And then, you, like I said, you're going back to the whole deal about in third world countries, little children starving over there. Why aren't we over there feeding them, you know? Why we got people running around talking about how we got to depopulate these people or vaccinate them, you know, whatever, you know. Get over there and take care of them. They're fellow humans. How hard is that? I mean, you got enough energy and enough bombs and money to go over and bomb somebody else into the third world status, but yet you can't go over there and put some bread in this baby's mouth? That's why I get frustrated, man. And every day, without fail, you get on TV or the internet or whatever, or go down the street and listen to people, or you get everybody talking about Ebola, you know, is going to kill everybody, Planet X is going to hit the planet, all this bad stuff, terrorists behind every bush underneath your bed and raiding your coffee pot and such. They're running across the borders, they're bringing diseases in, all this kind of stuff. You know, the book, the Bible, it said in the last days there'd be wars and rumors of wars, plagues, famines, and pestilence. And so now I got individuals trying to convince me that my book is wrong and there is no God or whatever. And if my book is wrong and there is no God, then somebody a couple thousand years ago had a brilliant enough idea to write down all these things that would come to pass if mankind kept on the path that they were on. And so either way, you know, hey, it's in your face.
Is right this? There.
Yeah.
It sounds like to me, is this question money, is this, God is real? Is this, well, I mean, what are we discussing generally speaking? What's the subject?
It's kind of like started off about being God's real, then we come under attack, and now it's kind of being like just flat out common sense. Where did the common sense go in this world? Why are there people still starving? Why is there plagues all over the planet? You know, mankind has free will. And
you can start anywhere you want there, Locke.
Okay, well, in my 20s, I got into what's called, I'm pretty sure you two are familiar with it, I got involved in theology. And I took it upon myself for at least a couple of decades, through my 30s and into my 40s, to literally understand all of the language. So the word God, I found out in my life experience, it's real simple. It's even applied to Moses. Because God says to Moses that when I do what I do, it's out of context. I'm, you know, giving, you know, paraphrase. Basically, when you appear before Moses, you will appear to be as God. The word is Elohim. The word Elohim means to rule and to judge. So now I hear Muddy, he's talking, you know, this is all subconscious, he's talking about how he chooses to rule and judge his life and in his environment with the simple love of God backwards his dog. Curb my spirit, or it will build up my spirit. So, now getting back to God, God is literally in us. Either God is, like Jesus says, either your works, the evidence of who you are, is creating or it is destructing. Now, let me use the words. Either you're in Satanism, from Hebrew, the word Satan is not personified. It is the enemy. It is the adversary. And that's what everything is that is applied to law. Law is Satanism. It is the first commandment. You are not Now, this is my life experience. I am not supposed to give, you know, other gods as other rulers, other lords, other owners, other teachers, preachers, professors, judges. No, no, no. I don't go willingly into your Supreme Court because that is the God of this earth. See, there's a big difference between, and that's what I hear is now from Shaziz, I hear jurisdiction and authority. Who in their right mind with that kind of thinking of judgment and jurisdiction of thinking would allow children to starve to death? Because it's the God of mammon. That's the majority of the God that's in the world today. It's mammon. What gets us to keep our homes? Mammon. They force us into the system of playing God. They have the divine right to take our land, and we have to pay them, right? And this is not just our generation, right, guys? This has been going on for thousands of years, all the way back to the principle, and even before Israel. This is, you know, ownership of land. It's the kings.
So what's it going to take for the entire world to come to some sort of common sense to understand that these guys or gals out there who are doing this thing to humanity are not good people? They're not. They do not have our best intentions at hand. They don't care about that child over there starving to death. Otherwise, it would be resolved. I mean, it doesn't take no 30 years to solve starvation in the world. With the advanced technology we've got today, we should have groups of people over there teaching these people how to grow their own food, for Pete's sake. You know?
Well, for 3 years, from 1984 to 1987, I was privileged to have a vocation at the time in a movie studio. So whenever you see these images on TV, don't fool yourselves. Please, I beg of you. All of this stuff you see on TV is just there for exactly what you're describing as a result. It's there for guilt. They want us to be guilty. They want us to be part of, oh, see, you're letting this happen. Oh, you're not doing anything about it. Feel guilty. Feel terrorized.
That's the key, because I know my own heart, and I know my own heart would not allow this kind of stuff, and I'm angry because the supposed leaders and rulers of the world and mainstream media out there push this down as if I should be ashamed of my life because there's some starving baby out there. I feel blessed that I have what I have, and I would share it with any individual on the planet. But I'm saying to the world as a whole, if this indeed is occurring, why is it occurring? And we have leaders out there who supposedly care about the world and the children, but yet they're still, according to their own propaganda or media or whatever, they're still bombing foreign nations, and they're still starving people and the baby after all these years.
But she says, you have to please understand and go macro with me. This is how these people operate for thousands of years. They have to operate without any empathy, and they have to make us suffer. Think about it. Look, I want you to see this suffering. See, they feed off of this. This is how their kingdoms are built. This is how their wars are perpetuated. It's all on the blood of human beings. Yep. This is how it works.
Well, I have to talk to you via their system. I have to get on the internet, which was actually created by their system. And so, Absolutely. In order for me to be able to communicate with you, I have to be able to cohabitate, so to speak, within their system in order to get what I'm trying to say. And every single time I even get you anywhere near any kind of common sense, such as an alternative or a free energy device or anything that has to do with... I got another car coming. Can you hold on, guys? Call Muddy. Doggone it. Who do I have there? Anybody? Doggone it. Well, I just lost the whole freaking call, man. This is nuts. Alright.
Khadid.
Yeah, I'm back.
Alright, Khadid's back.
Now, Ryan was trying to get in here, and Raymond was trying to get in here. Muddy, can you add him?
Already got Raymond.
Alright, cool. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to point out is that I care about the world. I care about my grandchildren and children, and I understand what you're saying about how they want us
to... 1 hour TV show, kiss your wife, and go to bed and do it all over again because you're chasing the money. They're occupying our brains with the money. Hey, but let's go back to God, the Word. It's judgment and rulership. And what did he just describe, Jesus? They have learned the system down to where they keep us totally away from knowing our own selves. Literally, that's what this is all about.
But if we let go, if we rock off that plank, they will fall. I have let go. I have not worked in 8 years. I go hunt deer. I go hunt moose. I don't pay a ticket.
Word or the... If you live, you do as you believe, and you don't see that they have the right to tell you what to believe or think.
I do, but I respect others and I follow common sense, and that's the first things that are in the Bible and on the Georgia Guidestones. Common sense, the commandments. It's common sense.
And can I throw this out for the whole panel?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do we think it's actually a coincidence? Now think of how important this is. Do we honestly think it's a coincidence that they had put capital, those three letters capitalized on their monetary system? There's a reason for it, because they are in total control of the concept, much less the service to God. It's all through their sanctioned seminaries, their institutional religions. This is all over the globe. All over the globe. It's been like this.
Well, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. There's no sense in trying to convince me or judge me or mistreat me or whatever. And, you know, you got people out there being tormented for all kinds of belief systems. And, you know, the whole religion word itself is taboo in this world.
I'm right with you. But here's the problem. Okay, let's take what you just said. It's valid. I'm not knocking it down. I'm expanding it. Let's take your thought. Now, I'm in security. I've been fingerprinted by the FBI and the CIA in two states. So now, in 2004 and 2005, the Homeland Security comes along and says, well, you know what? In order for you to operate your business, we're still one of your principals, she says. Or they come around and force, let's say $1,000 a year in bogus general liability insurance for your business, which is just bogus. It's just an internal tax. It's all fraud. But the point is now, Shaziz, now if I'm going to be Jesus, then what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to not pay their fraud. And now what does that mean? That means, as far as they're concerned, Shaziz, they're God. Therefore, now I can't defeat the camp we go. Remember, even Jesus sent out 70. Do this in numbers. We've got to do this in numbers.
And I agree. And that's why I'm saying, why are we still allowing this? We have the power to stop it. We are the majority.
Because we're letting the government play God by using all these officials that put their left hand on the Bible that they're controlling, by playing God and forcing their institutions to believe the way that we have to. Generationally, how many people have done that? And then on the right hand, they're forcing us to serve their faith of Constitution. And listen, here's the bottom line. By the time we go through their courts and time and space for 240 plus years, the truth is, this whole system is based on gunpoint.
Yeah, you've got
to go through their court. You've got to pay their due debt.
Can we go further with Jesus' words? Jesus warned us. He said, you get out of her. I think it's more than just the attorneys. What I call it courting the whore. We need to get rid of this court through this bogus constitution. I can prove from 1812 to 1817, the original document that the signers did in 1776 is not the same document we have today. So let's get beyond all of that garbage, because see, that is what they get us to bogusly believe in. See, their faith, their God, their system of government, nationalism, and patriotism. What we need to do is no longer court the whore. Period.
You've mentioned Jesus and the Bible and God several times. In fact, quite a few of you have. But it was Jesus that said, "Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar." And that means money, rules, law. You don't have to believe them. You have to follow them. You have to learn them. And how do you learn them?
Guys,
you cannot understand.
Yeah, guys, we're having a bit of success at the moment, and what we're doing when we go into court, a week before we go into court, we go to the court clerk and we say we want the case to be heard under the Constitution or whatever suits us. So in America, what you could do is you could say, I want the court case to be held under the 1776 American Constitution. You see, what it is the court can call the game. If you can think of it like a tennis game, right? And if you walk into their game, well, they invent the rules. They can make the net higher or lower, whatever they want. But if you go to the court clerk 1 week before and you say, I want it held under the American Constitution of 1776, or whichever one you choose, you can choose any of them, they automatically lose the case, because when you're going into a court case at the moment, you're going into a commercial court where you're guilty before and you have to prove yourself innocent. Where what we do is we turn the tables and we say, put it under the Constitution, and now you're innocent and they have to prove you're guilty, and they can't. Because you're sovereign. And once you're sovereign, that's it. So it's just automatic, no, not guilty.
It's a result. That's checking the system. Think of a chess game. They create it. Okay, think of a chess game. What I heard you just say is you put them in check. I'm not going for check. To me, check is the Constitution. To me, check and checkmate is I'm going after the Bible. I'm going after Torah. They have violated Torah. Torah says you do not add. Period. And that's what the Constitution is. I'm going for total freedom. I'm going for the whore to disappear, to go away. We can get rid of the whore and bring out men and women of honor that truly love God and elders and will truly meter out love for their communities. What? Rather than the system of whores that are all peddlers. And by the way, in part of my investigations just early this week, Monday, I finally, under recording, when I told the attorney, he actually owned the law group that I used in 2006. He's never met me. I walked into his office, and just as the back end, he's telling me to leave his office, I did tell him, oh, by the way, just so you can know, I'm recording everything you've said here today. And I asked him right to his face in front of his sexy little secretary, what is your bar number, sir? And because he knew he was being recorded, guess what the first three digits of every bar membership number is? Wake up, 007. They all work for the queen, the whore of Babylon. He's right. He said it. Get rid of the attorneys. Oh, no. Get rid of the whore. Get rid of the court.
Before you become the president, you kneel down before the queen and get sworn in. Same thing in Canada. Same thing in Australia. Same thing in Mexico.
Thank you.
Same thing in Scotland.
Let her have her people, but we can get rid of the court. Get rid of the parasitical courts.
So while I don't disagree with anything you guys are saying, I'm still asking the same question. Are there babies in the world starving? Are there wars going on? Are there things that should not be happening according to decency and humanity? And if so, if this is really occurring out there, how do we stop it now while we get the other portion of the corrupt system that we call government in check? Checkmate, or whatever, or out the door completely.
We have to be innocent.
you said that we are the majority. If you look at it, we really aren't the majority because there's too many people that live good lives and get paid that money, that blindness. That money is what keeps people with those horse blinders on. When the economy fails, then we have more of the majority.
So maybe men
can't work and provide for their kids and have thoughts of their own.
So maybe the economy, maybe the economy should fail. Maybe that would be the best if all the banks crashed and everything, and you were just flat out forced with a decision. How are you going to run the rest of your life when you don't have the government to back you up as far as financial whatever, and you got to get out there and fend for yourself like they did back in the day of the people that Old West style, you know, wagon train, where you get out there with a horse and a mule and you plow your field and such like that. You know, we are so reliant on this system out there, and people are so uneducated to any kind of reality that they're spending their entire lives sucked into this demon that we call the internet and fighting amongst each other instead of working together. We didn't have a power source before our very eyes that has the capability to bring them all down.
You just said it. That's what's happening, and this has happened over and over again. So really, what is the court? If we're not courting the whore, and Jesus said to leave her, what is really there? It's the money. So you're right. Once the system and the directors and the whole thing collapses, especially in our town or our state, that you're righteous. Since we've got to go back to Jesus, disciples, we've got to take care of each other, we've got to glean together, we got to work together, we got to all be the same, whether we like it or not. You're right, it's heading that way. You're right. Guess what? Remember, guys, there's no difference between electricity or energy and money, because what do they both call currency? So you watch. Once the money goes, the power goes. Once the power goes, the money goes. So now, this is where it's at. We got to take care of each other. You're right, she says. Nobody should starve. Nobody should go without food or clothing or housing for any reason.
Well, there's one thing that we all have in common sitting around this table. We all agree on what you just said about, you know, taking care of one another. And I believe that's the general consensus of the entire world as far as the average Joe. But we, like I said, we outnumber all these elites by the billions, and yet we're still sitting around. And we're talking about all the bad things going on in the world, and we got to fix it. We got to find free energy, alternative health care, and things to try to educate the people away from the system where history itself has been changed.
Yeah, well, I put a link in there today from Roy McAllister, and he's been 40 years in America working away at hydrogen, and yeah, he's got some good stuff there in that video. He's running his car on a combination of hydrogen, what he calls turpentine fuels, and gasoline. And basically what it is turpentine fuel is independent of the system, because you would be able to get a multi-fuel car and also get other advantages like better miles to the gallon and various other factors. So this guy's well worth studying. Okay, it's not total free energy, but it's certainly reduced cost energy.
Yep. Well, you know what? We've got all these solutions, and there's brilliant minds all over this world, and it's time for the average Joe to get up off the couch and get involved in your local communities, your local governments, and try to get the corrupt ones out of office and put some decent people in office until we can get this thing under control. Because flat out, on the path that we're going, we're going to see some really nasty days, and it isn't going to just be one of us that sees it. We're all in this boat together, and these holes are being punched into the boat, and while we're trying to patch up the boat, somebody else is punching holes in the lifeboat as well. So when the ship goes down, it's all hands on board. Nobody gets
it. Like, the same problems we got in Europe, just slightly different variations, but essentially the same problems. I mean, we've still got the same legal system like you, the bar, so we in Ireland suffer exactly the same legal problems the view where our effectively our legal system has been hijacked and all our legal people work for the Queen of England.
Well, I think that everything's been hijacked. I think that our personal lives have been hijacked. My own spiritual journey's out there being hijacked. And I'm trying to tell everybody, hey, I'm not like when they're talking about the Crusades where I'm going to go out and try to burn people I think are witches or anything like that. That has nothing to do with my version of Christianity or what I believe that the Bible stood for or anything like that. And I don't agree with people starving or bombing each other or shooting each other. I'm just trying to say, like, can't we all just get along and use some common sense and get this world on the right track before we head down that path to sure destruction, which we are definitely heading towards? Does anybody...
Oh, yeah, but we have to look at our own local areas. Like, in America, you can solve the problem a bit more easily than a lot of other people, because if you can get every sheriff on your side, that's it. The sheriff is the highest thing in the county. And if he's a good guy, basically, if all the sheriffs in all the counties were... you get them away from the federal government, then you gain control of the United States.
Well, I'm thinking it's more like the average Joe that needs to be getting up. That's what I'm saying. You know, the sheriff, the police officers, all the people that are even related to the executive branch of government or the judicial branch of government, any of those guys. You know, they're already so deep into the system that they think they're doing the right thing. The average Joe is sitting there looking at while they're sitting there bickering back and forth. I mean, for Pete's sake, we're sitting around arguing about gay marriage, and there's people dying in the world. That's what I'm saying.
They do that here in Europe. They get you to argue about silly things like gay marriage or all sorts of weird, wonderful, you know, distractions.
Well, what's more important? What is more important? That baby over there starving to death, the baby over there getting his parents murdered by bombs and guns and crazy people, or, you know, somebody wanting to get married? I say we address the big problem first, which is starting to save lives and stop all the madness going on, the billions and trillions of dollars that go down to just tormenting humanity. You know, these guys in power, they're going to continue to be in power as long as people continue to be ignorant to what's even occurring. Do I know what's happening out there?
And what else needs to be understood is you've got word associations too, such as sheriff is the law. You've got in Islam Sharia law. So what I'm saying is you've got to get rid of the whole structure. It's all the queen, all the way down to your sheriffs. Look at the states. They're really e-states. Estates of the crown. You've got to literally replace the whole system. You don't have to burn anything. You don't have to kill anyone. You just remove the parasitical entity, which is that agreement. Get rid of their constitution because they're controlling it through their courts. Until we can control it ourselves amongst our own courts, our own people, our own towns, our own counties, and keep them out. And then we can rebuild these positions the way they need. And if you think about it, over from my research, none of these positions are necessary. I tried to visit the police chief. They're not available. I tried to visit the mayor in the city. They're not available. I tried to visit the constable, is the equivalent to the sheriff here. Oh, they're not available. See, these are positions that are back to the principle of the one, the hero, the CEO, the Jesus Christ. See, they're mocking Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the number 13 on their dollar, the sun. Everything is 13, as above, so below. They're mocking. We got to redo everything. We got to get rid of their masonry, which is really the backbone to this whole system here in this country. There's not a police chief. There's not a city manager. There is not a constable that is not. They are all Masons, folks. Let's wake up. Okay? this is all part of the system, and it's brilliant. But once you respect how they did it, you can turn it right back around on them. And that's why check number one is the Constitution, that they are clearly violating the oath with the UCC. So that's check. And then you get checkmate on violating our own religions, which they said in their preamble, right, of this Constitution, they're not supposed to be violating that. They're not supposed to be setting up a religion according to their state. What do you think all these wars are? It's religion. What do you think Arlington Cemetery is? It's a religion. What do you think Veterans Day is? See, this is hero worship. If you look at Jesus, if you look at Jesus' society, you had the high priest once a year going in. Now we're back to Shaziz and taking care of the children. You have one high priest sanctified before the living God in the Holy of Holies, sanctifying the whole purpose in that time and moment in the year for the whole benefit of the nation. Not this God hero worship where somebody's got to die all the time so this God could be appeased. See, my point is this is what we need to get away from. This is their false institution ideas of the Bible and the Constitution, and now they've mind-melded it in all of their institutions, including the sheriffs and the constables. So we need to take that back.
In the meantime, they have the average Joe at each other's throat. They have people out there that are so twisted in all their belief systems that it's just mind-boggling. I mean, if you go out there and you'll find it. There's videos out there on YouTube, like Zeitgeist or whatever, that just completely obliterate somebody's belief system, whether fiction or non-fiction or however it came to be. You can't even be a Christian in peace. You can't be a Muslim in peace. You can't be a Buddhist or a Hindu in peace. Somebody's out there continuously telling you how stupid you are. There's race battles going between blacks and whites, and whether or not Jesus was black or white or Muslim or whatever. You know, all this stuff is ludicrous. And these guys have everyone out here fighting continuously amongst themselves, and we are losing. We're losing. We're heading down a path to sure destruction. And who's going to be at the top? You know, they got their own bunkers. They got their own food stored away. They got everything they need, and they did it on your dime. So, you know, what do you do? Am I insane?
You turn it back around on them. You use the Constitution for what it really was. See, the police, when they make that oath, they're being lied to. What they don't realize is not only are they expendable, they are private contractors when it gets down to the legalese. They get rid of the cop, and then they cover their own little private for-profit police station. And all of it, even the city hall. My goal issues is, somebody said solutions, here's the solution. But you got to be careful before I give you the solution. The moment you bring the solution in, which is Jesus said, get out of her, that means I go to my city and say, that's it. Either you incorporate yourself from this whore, or I leave. And if they don't want to do it, then let them have their whore. But the bottom line is, that's the key.
Well, I've been saying that.
You got to unincorporate from the whore, from the system of government, and you got to, like Jesus says, leave it. And now what does the book of Acts show us? Everybody had everything in common. See, that's not the way it works with government. See, they have a caste system.
I've been saying that forever and a day, just in a slightly different manner. I'm saying, if you don't like what's being fed at the table, you need to just get up and walk away from the table. We need to just get up and walk away from the beast that's eating us all alive.
Okay, but if you look at the table and you're using it that as an example, what has happened? We've been at a table, we enjoyed being at a table, and they slowly introduced us so that we became, that's what we've known, we're accustomed to it. So it's hard for people to walk away from the table. As many as there are that you talk to and I talk to, people don't do things because of that money. They're blinded by that money. How many cops are in America?
Well, you know, like I said,
they all get a good paying job, they all get good health benefits, they all get their vacation, they get to travel the world, they get to do whatever they want, because they're blinded by that money, and they'll be faithful to that money, because you give them a good life, because every man is greedy for themselves.
Yeah, and there's the problem. We all agree that the system is broken. There's no doubt about it. None of us disagree that the system is broken. And either we're going to walk away from the system and rebuild our own, or we're going to let that system continue to do what it does and destroy all of humanity. And that's exactly where it's going to go.
I think Raymond and you, though, should just hit it. What's coming? It's going to fall apart. And you were talking about, look at Oklahoma. My forefathers, my father, his father, left Oklahoma because of all of the abuse and not listening to the Bible and let the land rest every 7 years. And that's what's happening with the Gulf and everything else. You're right. The earth itself is going to hit back, and they know it. That's why they built their little traps underneath the ground, thinking that, just like the old Nephilim, that they're just going to get away with everything and they're going to come back up and recontrol everything. But in the bigger picture, no, it's literally like Jesus described. If it wasn't for what's going to be happening, literally the whole earth would be destroyed if they had their way. Look at Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah.
Half a million. Or half a billion.
I've got to interject something.
Where do we go? Where
do we go together.
Where?
Ourselves and our homes and our families available, and we cannot trust the contracts that we made with these people, and we're not trees, we're better than trees. Trees can't get up and move, but we can get up and move. Just like Jesus describes, just like Moses. I mean, we leave. That's what Jesus says. You leave her. And that's what we're doing right now. We're leaving her.
My question is, where do we go?
Well, like I said to everybody, when this boat sinks, all hands on board are going down, and it ain't going to, those guys think they're going to survive in that bunker. They got another thing coming. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Shaziz, I do have an answer for this. I really do, and I see it happening. Let me give you an example. I live north of Dallas, okay? Approximately 30 miles north of Dallas.
Under 27.
This is important. This ties into this, Raymond. What I see is about a year and a half ago, they installed the smart meters here. About a month or so ago, I visited a friend in Arkansas in the Ozarks, and I noticed quite interestingly that in the Ozarks up there, the populations are very male compared to where I came from, and they don't have smart meters. They have analog. So here's my question, whoever asked that question, where do we go? Well, let me tell you this. Remember what God principalized when they came down to the Tower of Babel? What was the idea? You're not supposed to gather in one place and create a great big metropolitan area with big buildings, but see, this is what these people have done since time and space. So what you do is, number one, you get the heck out of cities. Wherever you see smart meters, they can literally, with a flick of a switch of a satellite, and they can literally simulate an outage. So what I'm warning you, for all of us, is wise up. They're putting in the mechanisms to literally play God with the energy simultaneously. So I can assure you that up in the Ozarks, that was just a month ago, I'm talking when you're above 5,000 feet up there, they don't care about you. So it's going to be those isolated areas that you're going to have to deal with and learn how to survive. Because the big cities are going to burn. June 24th, this also ties in because of the smart meter, is the best way I can figure it. June 24th, this year, I have a 94 Ford van conversion. I've had it for 10 years. It's sat in my garage. On that date, my van simultaneously caught on fire because of faulty sensors. And I'm telling you, either it is because of the solar rays that we don't see that's high right now compared to the last decade, or it's that stupid smart meter that took my sensor, my defaulted sensor, the crack, and it's right above the master cylinder, and it melted it. It created a fire all on its own. Now look at the book of Peter. It says that everything is going to burn. So that's the indicators. Stay away from technology as much as possible, because that's how they're going to simulate all the godlike actions all over the globe.
So with that said, how are we going to communicate with one another? Smoke signal or...
you beat me to it.
No, wait. What about Larry? Larry has talked about creating new batteries that are indefinite. If we can integrate and keep our old phones and get the smarts about us and get those amongst us with those smarts, we can convert this technology to our benefit and be aware of all the other things and issues. My point is, you've got to learn to MacGyver everything. You've got to stay away from their claims to drag you into their courts versus something that they throw away.
Well, I agree, but I feel some sort of sense of urgency that we need to get this on this show on the road, man, because I don't see us lasting much longer. If we have elections in 2016, I'll be amazed because of the things that's going on in this world, according to their own propaganda going on in the mainstream media, and even the things in the alternative media, because I'm telling you, it's like information overload. Well, guys, we're down to the last 10 minutes of the show, and it's been a rough one, too, man. The subject's probably been a hot one out there, so we've been under attack all the way through the whole deal in the podcast. I'm going to have to try to glue it all together, so there might be hits and misses in there, but it's worthy of listening to again. Anyway, so that's the point where we go around the table and let everybody say what they got to say. Who wants to jump up there first?
Yeah, it's been a while since I got to say anything.
Well, you better turn your mic up or nobody's going to hear you.
That might be a little better. Battery might be going down. Anyway, when you see the abomination of desolation sitting where he does belong, your eyes on Israel, let no man go to his house to get anything but run for the mountains. And Jesus said, get thee away from the city. Get thee out of the cities. And that's basically right along everything that was saying here. And I got to go back to Locke on one thing. When I was talking about my dog, I was basically thinking about how all the things happened kind of in a coincidence there. I think the dog was a gift to me, and I was a gift to the dog. When I was in the taxi cab business, I fed a lot of homeless, housed a lot of homeless. My wife, right there with me. We discussed everything we did, and we both agreed the whole way. So I think God sent me my wife. There's too many coincidences, too many things in my life for me to even think about God is not real. God is real, and He is in control. And I know that even though that all the authority figures, queen, and all that stuff, all the rulers are set in their place for a reason. And I've asked myself why. I've asked myself, why do we have descendants from the ancient Sumerians, the offspring of the Anunnaki and stuff? All of them are the ones in control. All of the presidents of the United States, except for two, were direct descendants of the Anunnaki. And those two were, blood kin. But, anyway, getting off of that, the main deal is, why? If you're going to prove to somebody that they never had a chance, you must give them every opportunity to actually get it through their head. And I think that's where it's all stood at. This system will fall. It's not the people, it's not as much the people as the system and the ones that are up on top. They must fall. Yeah, I hope the economy doesn't have to fall, but yes, the dollar will die, and I do believe it will. And I do believe we're going to be tested by fire. We're going to go through all sorts of, excuse the terminology, hell here on earth. But he said, let no man go to their house to get anything. That means your cell phone. You don't want to be tracked. Your cell phone, you can take the battery out, and it'll still track you. Until you try to turn it back on and waste the energy that's left in the capacitors. There's so many behind-the-scenes backstabbing technology out here, including Xboxes and all that, that sense where you're in, what you're doing in your room, what you're doing in the other room, where you're looking, just to control the money and sell you as a lead to a sale.
I agree, brother, but we got to speed this thing up.
I'm done. Go ahead, man.
Anybody else got anything? Because we're down to the wire.
I'll wait for everybody else. Raymond?
No, I'm good.
All right, well, what do you got?
I think basically we really understand what's going on. We're going through a transition, all of us. And it, as you said, Shaziz, with the images of the kids alone, it's a difficult transition. But we're all going through it together, and I'm glad to be with you guys here today. Thanks.
I appreciate you coming on. I really do.
And so with that said, folks, you've been listening tonight to the Roundtable. Apologize for all the interruptions, but that's the way it goes when you're talking about things that people don't want to hear or things that they don't want you to say or whatever. All I can say is that I hope that everybody out there takes in advice and some just being prepared for something. You know, who knows, whether it be natural or man-made, the only one who can take care of you and your family in this time of need is going to be you and your family, and hopefully we can take care of one another and keep this ball rolling and try to make this world a better place. You got to walk away from the beast. That's all there is to it. I mean, if you like the representation you've been getting around the world, then you have to say you agree with what's going on, and I disagree. I strongly disagree with children starving. I strongly disagree with bombs falling and bullets flying. I strongly disagree with all the things that the government has been doing and the people allowing the government to do. It's we the people, the book says so right there, man. We're going to have to do something, and you got a choice to make. You either follow God or you don't follow God. It's free will. In my belief, I'm going to keep on doing what I do, and I'm going to keep on saying what I say, because I have this sense of urgency that this world needs to really become enlightened somehow, some way, because our children's future depends on it. And so with that said, peace and love, and thanks to everyone out there. You all take care.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here!
Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh?
The
That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid table. For many times we give and rhyme to our quiet hunting table. We're off the bat in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Thank you, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table rebroadcast due to technical difficulties earlier. I'll be uploading the full version, and just remember to stay true to your beliefs and your faiths and take care of one another. Peace and love, everybody.